It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm your host, Dean Mixon, joined here by Zion Cochran and Jackson Kennedy here on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Gentlemen, it was kind of colder this morning. I looked next week weather forecast for Hattiesburg.
Oh,
it was like
high
of 85.
No way.
Lows?
Come on.
I honestly forgot, so I'm pulling it back
up.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, but it was a high of 85, which I will take a high of 85 no matter what the low is.
Any day.
Next week, high of 88, low of 60.
God. Yeah. This weekend, I think that...
Inject that into my veins, please. Oh, fall weather's around the corner. You're going to see me in flannels and jeans, and I don't care if it's basic, because you know what? I'm comfy, and I look good.
Yep, the 21st is the autumn equinox, so yeah. Cool weather, get ready. Yep.
There's no way
every,
this man.
Every time you bring your little composition notebook here, you just start saying some stuff, man.
It's the truth, though.
I'm not disputing that. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, fall's around the corner. Hey, would you know? 21st of the autumn equinox. You didn't even say, like, fall solstice. You said autumn equinox.
Yeah, I think that's the proper term for it. I think summer solstice.
Yes, Marcus Aurelius. That's the right term. Okay.
Maybe some of the audience doesn't know. I was throwing it out there for him. Maybe some audience doesn't know.
Okay. Well, moving on.
Oh, my gosh.
Jam-packed weekend of football this weekend. And
packed.
I know everybody just knows that the game of the weekend is Southern Miss Arkansas State, you know.
That is
obviously the game of the weekend. I mean, who would be watching any other game this
Colin
weekend?
Colin Cowherd hasn't shut up about
this
game.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I think game day is going to be in Jonesboro this
Joe
weekend.
Joe Klatt will not be there.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Joe Klatt will not be there, guys.
Yeah, Joe Klatt. Gus Johnson will not be screaming when you make a three-yard completion. But yeah, jam-packed game weekend for college football. And obviously, this is a Southern Miss podcast, so we will be talking about Southern Miss Arkansas State for the majority of this podcast. We will be talking about national football at the end. We normally go quick on Prince Pick'em, but I feel like this week we kind of have to talk. As a general sports podcasting platform, we must talk about the insanity of, what is it, 8 ranked matchups this weekend?
Probably the biggest weekend.
That is crazy. I don't remember it ever being like that.
No, I think this is probably one of the biggest weekends that we've seen. And the thing that sucks is, this is going to, on social media and in TV companies' minds, this is going to justify the terrible conference realignment that we've been seeing. Oh, well, you know, people want to see these ranked matchups. But no, but people want to also see regional things, too.
I also want to say, and I don't want to harp on last week too much, but 9.8 million to watch Colorado State is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mention this on the Monday pod, but also, one thing about the Monday pod, your boy Dima here is a ding dong. I deserve to be a ding dong. I deserve to be called a ding dong. I did not take the audio from Jake Lang's podcast at all. I forgot to get it and put it on the podcasting platform. So that's why if you were waiting for the Monday show to be on podcasting platform, it's not there. So what I plan to do is take it tonight since we're here at College Studio. Okay. It'll be out on Saturday. So you can go back and listen to it on Saturday. We will still post our pregame show first though. But it'll be out on Saturday so you can listen to the interview with Jake Lang. Granted, it's going to be 5 days late, but that is my fault. That is my bad. Guys, sometimes we make mistakes. That was my mistake this week. So I'm sorry. So that's my fault. I apologize. We will definitely try to get better at that next week. So I just wanted to point that out before we started this podcast. But gentlemen, Southern Miss Arkansas State last season, excuse me, last season, one of the more underrated games of the year, in my opinion, you know, Southern Miss came out, really struggled in that game last year against Arkansas State. Wasn't able to move the ball. Arkansas State, I think they scored early. Zion, what is your initial thoughts? I mean, always opening up on the road in the conference play is always difficult, but the point spread of 7 Do you think that's a bit insulting to Southern Miss, or do you think that's right?
I believe it's just right. I don't believe there's been any evidence showcasing within the past three games saying that Southern Miss should be over or under that, if I'm being completely honest. And it's a divisional opponent, too, if I'm not mistaken, two Sunbelt teams going against each other. And I don't believe, you know, the line. I think the line's perfect right there. Maybe six and a half, but the line is right there, because if we're going to get into it later than the analysis and whatnot. But if we're looking at Arkansas State and USM's, like, showings over the past 3 weeks, it hasn't been, you know, really impressive, we're being quite honest, guys.
Yeah, it really feels like a game that is kind of a, okay, who are these teams, right? I mean, Arkansas State going on the road to an Oklahoma, getting their butts whipped. Butch Jones was crying on the sideline. Southern Miss going to Florida State, getting their butts whipped.
But they did actually score points.
They did score points. They did not get beat by 77. They only got beat by...
By 56.
So
or 52, whatever the heck.
World
victory. It was some number that started with a 5. And
Will Hall was not crying on the sidelines. Is something that I think
that
Southern
is
Miss
the biggest... Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Anyway, so... Then Southern Miss plays a Tulane team, which in all metrics, Southern Miss fans thought they probably could have won last week if they had just had their offense somewhat incompetent last week. And, you know, Arkansas State played a very similar opponent at Memphis. They played him at home in Jonesboro, lost it in very similar fashion, 37-3. Southern Miss lost to Tulane 21-3. And then they both beat up on an FCS team. So this is two very similar schedules so far. So I think this is a very... You know, a lot of people just taking that Oklahoma game and the Memphis game, looking at this Arkansas State team, saying they're terrible, they're awful, blah, blah, blah. You know, but these are very similar teams in the way the start of the season has come. So I think that this is definitely a game where it'll tell you who both teams are for Southern Miss. You know, you want to see this team respond. You want to see especially the offense respond, and you want to see them go in there. And by all metrics, you feel like they're the more talented team, so you want to see them go in there and take care of business. And for Arkansas State, you want to see them put up a fight if you're an Arkansas State fan. I know there's probably no Arkansas State fans listening to this podcast, but if you are an Arkansas State fan listening to this podcast, first off, thanks for listening. Second off, you're welcome to subscribe. But two, you know, you want to see your team battle at home. It's a night game. You know, not easy to go on the Sun Belt on the road in any form of this. Any realm of the possibility. Jackson, is this an Arkansas State team who should be favored by, or should be only underdogs by 7 against the Southern Miss team?
I don't know. Because going into this season, I would say the line should be at 17 points in Southern Miss's favor, just because of the Arkansas State that we saw last year and the Southern Miss team that we saw in fall camp. But you know, I think the Southern Miss that you and I saw in fall camp, that you and I were very high on, I mean, I think we are going to see that team, and I think we'll see it this weekend, but I don't know. Because, you know, again, like, yes, this is year 3 of the rebuild, but they got so many transfers at such important positions that it feels like you just moved down back to year 2 almost. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you know, Will Hall's had time to build his culture, and he's been doing it well. And aside from what fans may think, he's been rebuilding one of the toughest rebuilds, if not the toughest rebuild in the country, and he's been taking it in stride. However, we took some step backs as we, we saw them take some steps back. You know, having to get a brand new quarterback because Ty Keyes was injured and then he transferred. You know, getting a brand new quarterback that transferred from another university, didn't kind of develop in this system. Getting a couple new key pieces on defense and offense. You know, you're going to have to give them a little bit of time to gel together. I think by game 6, they're going to be firing on all cylinders. But I wouldn't be surprised if this game they exploded. But I understand why Vegas is a little concerned to give it more than a 7-point spread in Southern Miss's favor, because even though we saw the incredible offensive prowess during fall camp and during the scrimmages and in some form or fashion against Alcorn State, given that was a very, very vanilla game, they didn't want to expose the playbook too much, but we don't know a whole lot about Southern Miss's offense, and that's why the spread's like that. It's not that Vegas doesn't think that Southern Miss is going to win and win in a convincing fashion, because I bet they do. It's just no one knows who this team is and what this team is going to look like. We all have our ideas. We haven't seen it on the field just yet.
Yeah, you know, I would argue that last season's game, Arkansas State controlled the game for most of the contest. I think it was 19-7 or something like that going into the fourth quarter. Really felt like Southern Miss wasn't able to move the ball, didn't feel like they could run the ball. They put in Jake Lang, and he, you know, aspired this comeback.
Incredible.
Where I think it was a 9-play, 95-yard drive in the beginning of the fourth quarter with Frank Ward Jr. Having a 30-yard touchdown rush. And then another drive by Jake Lang, which led down for Janari Dean to score the go-ahead touchdown there, make it 2019. Then the defense stood up. You know, obviously, I think Arkansas State doesn't have a James Blackman this year. They don't have a quarterback who is going to challenge the Southern Miss team. I think in that way, just what the talent that James Blackman had was honestly very good. And it was something that Southern Miss last year's defense had a lot of trouble defending. Jackson, you took a deep dive on Arkansas State's quarterbacks. And, you know, I think they've been picking and choosing of who they're trying to play. What do you expect? Who do you expect them to play? Who do you think they're going to play? And what kind of, you know, skill set does that guy impose?
Well, I did that deep dive, and there's really interesting things about this. So Arkansas State's main guy, right? He's started two games, or he's appeared in two games. He's 24 of 51, which is a 47.1% completion rate. So on 24 completions, he's got 227 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, with a 50 rating from Pro Football Focus. Now, given, let's see, 7 of his passes that were deemed catchable and on target by Pro Football Focus were dropped by receivers. And that's 22.6% of all of his pass attempts. And that was the highest among all FBS quarterbacks. And he led that in last season as well, JT Shrout. You know? Like, so last season and this season so far, he's leading all of FBS in throwing the ball and it being completely catchable. It being completely catchable and the receivers drop it. And if that would have, like, I mean, imagine if you, or like, I don't know. That's just crazy to me. That is crazy to see that he leads the nation 2 years in a row for that. And it's just kind of, I guess, a testament to Arkansas State's struggles there. And this is, but this is the most concerning stat if you are an Arkansas State fan, and the most comforting stat if you're a Southern Miss fan. And Shrout does start. Check this out, Dima. Okay, JT Shrout has led 21 drives for Arkansas State. Dima, Zion, both of you each, give me a prediction on how many of those 21 possessions has Arkansas State scored. Not touchdowns, just scored out of 21 drives.
Little insight. They only average 11 points per game.
Yeah,
so.
I would say like two. I mean, it can't be that much because they've
two,
they've,
two of 21 drives is your
two
answer?
Or three.
Solid answer.
I'll go. How many points did they score against Memphis? They did only scored three against Memphis, zero against Oklahoma, 31 against Bethune-Cookman. So I guess, yeah, three or four.
Okay, three or four for you.
I'll give them three.
Out of the 21 drives Arkansas State has led, or Arkansas State has had with Shrout under center, only one of them has resulted in them getting points.
So they have a lot of defensive touchdowns, or just the other guy got the other touchdowns?
It's both.
Oh.
So this also includes going three and out on 7 of those 21 drives that Shrout has done. Now moving on to Jackson Daly. He has appeared in 3 games this season. He is 17 of 33 passing, which is a little bit better than the 47% that we saw from Shrout. He's at 51.5%. He's only got 137 yards, but he's got zero touchdowns and zero interceptions, which is a little bit better than zero touchdowns, two interceptions. But his Pro Football Focus grade is only a 53.8.
Oof.
Compared to Shrout's 50. So he has spent the most time in this Butch Jones system, and he's the only quarterback to play in all three games this season. He played in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma, and he completed one pass for 12 yards and added 11 yards rushing on the ground. He is also a redshirt freshman, and so he got the start against Stony Brook, leading Arkansas State to three straight scoring drives.
I think he's the guy who's going to play Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
From all metrics I'm reading.
If I'm not mistaken, the depth chart that came out listed Daly.
Okay.
But a lot of Arkansas State fans were a little upset that this next guy didn't get the start. But first, let me round out the stats on Daly. So he's, you know, a redshirt freshman, and he led those three straight scoring drives, and that's the first time under Butch Jones that's happened to start a game, to get three scores in a row. But he did not account for a touchdown, and he only finished 7 of 17 against Stony Brook for only 62 yards. But he accounted for 5 first downs, which I feel like that's important. So, you know, he's not going to chuck it. He's not going to throw that touchdown, but he's able to get that first down. He's able to make that clutch play. Now, moving on to the most intriguing person on the roster, Jalen Rayner. So he only has appeared in one game at Stony Brook, but he's 4 for 6 passing, which is, if you can't do quick math, that's 2/3 or 66.666 or 66.7% for 78 yards and one touchdown. He also has 57 rushing yards. He has an 80.7 PFF grade.
Yeah.
So he is a true freshman, and he played 4 drives, and Arkansas State scored touchdowns on the first 2 of those 4 drives. And he came in while the running backs were taken out of that game at Stony Brook. He came so it was pretty much like if you were to put in Ethan Crawford, but you took out Frank Gore Jr., you took out Chandler Pittman, and you took out Dreet Clark. And now you're like, okay, I mean, we still know that Southern Miss has some good guys on there, but that's a little bit deeper in the depth chart. And so even still, he led them to 2 scoring drives, and that was his first 2 drives that he appeared in the game with. So I think it was very interesting. So on 15 opportunities, so that's pass attempts plus rushing attempts, Rayner accounted for 135 total yards. But he's not a deep threat, or at least we haven't seen him take any deep threats. His longest completion of the day was a 42-yard pass and catch, but he doesn't throw it over. He's more of that quick, short-yard passage, or at least that's what we've seen so far. And obviously, as Southern Miss plays Arkansas State more, as Rayner gets older, he'll probably throw it down the field more. But as a true freshman making his first start against an FCS team, you're likely not going to see him chuck it down the field. He just wants to make a good name for himself while he can. But those are the 3 quarterbacks. And
Shroud is listed on the depth chart as the starter.
So Shroud is listed as Shroud, the starter.
Shroud should start. Now, what happens after that remains to be seen.
Because I was kind of just looking at this article about this written by in Jonesboro, Channel 8 News, and they're like, you know, Butch Jones handles QB battles weird. We don't know what's going to happen. And so I don't know if Shroud's going to finish the game. It's crazy because, again, like all the fans have just been begging just to put Rayner out on the field because they don't have very much confidence in the other two. I think this is going to be a very interesting game to watch because depending on how this game goes for Arkansas State, this could really cement some things because, I mean, I understand quarterback battles and you don't know who you've got until you see him in front of a crowd with the lights turned on. I agree with that. You really don't know what you have. Everybody's a hero until there's 30,000 people in front of you or 250 people for Arkansas. I'm kidding. There's like 8,000.
Jackson, thanks for those numbers. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what they've put on the field.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, with Brendan Toles out, you know, not a lot of experience behind Brendan Toles for Southern Miss's corners. I think it's something probably not to worry about this week, which, you know, like Jackson said, they don't throw the ball down the field that much. But, you know, especially against an Old Dominion and Texas State, who's coming up in the next, you know, Texas State is next week, which they're going to throw the ball down the field a good bit, and then Old Dominion. But I think against those those levels of teams, I think it's good that they get this game where they get a little bit of reps with the new corner. So, Zion, when you look at Arkansas State's defense, what do they do? What are some players that Southern Miss fans should be aware of? And what do you think you're going to see from that group?
If you're an Arkansas State fan, you shouldn't be encouraged by the defense at all. I will point out that they have two linebackers that are pretty solid. Javonte Mackey, I believe it is, and Malik Strecker both have over 34, I mean, it's a combined 34 tackles on the season. But if you're Southern Miss faithful, you're Southern Miss offense, you should be really encouraged playing this team. Going to throw out a couple stats for you guys real fast.
Yeah,
the Arkansas State defense, they allow 39 points per game, which is ranked 123rd out of 132 teams, according to the FBS. Fox has them ranked the 123rd, ranked worst defense in the college football. And ESPN has them ranked the 128th worst defense. And they only score 11.3 points per game. So that's a negative 22.7 point differential. It's pretty pathetic, guys. And also, they have caused zero turnovers throughout three games.
To be fair, though, they did play Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so Southern Miss's numbers are two turnovers.
I believe they
not as bad as that, but it sounds very bad. Yeah. But once again, that this is not a team that I think anybody should just dismiss.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a division opponent too, so you know it's not going to be a blowout by any means, from my knowledge at least. And I want to tell you that in all the games, it's only been three games this season, but Arkansas has winless against the spread this season. They've given up over 1,342 yards in three games, which includes 822 passing yards and 460 rushing yards. If you're the offensive line for USM, if you're Frank Gore, Dreek Clark, you should be really encouraged going against this O-line, guys, because going against this D-line, it's simply not good, just to put it in simple terms. It's not a great opponent, if we're being real. And passing attack defense is pathetic too. 882 yards. That's slouch numbers right there. And you know, if you're Will Hall, you're Billy Wise, you should be going to Jonesboro Stadium, and you should be going in with a big smile on your face. This should be a prove it game, if you ask me. This should be the game that turns around your season and really maybe start a winning streak, if you know what I mean. And you'll start off 1-0 if you win this game. Start off 1-0 in conference play. And I think defense, offense for USM, they should be really encouraged, because the offense is ranked literally second to worst. The defense is ranked fourth to worst on ESPN, and I believe it's ninth worst on Fox. So USM faithful, USM offense, defense, you should be really encouraged. I understand it's a division game, conference game, but I don't see why we shouldn't be encouraged if you're a USM fan.
Thank you, Zion. And I want to talk about the running for Arkansas State. They rank 70th in the country in rushing. For comparison, Southern Miss ranks near the bottom at 120 for rushing teams in America. I think Arkansas State will try to run the ball against Southern Miss. Their passing attack is not the same as their running attack, as I was just saying with Jackson explaining the quarterback action there. They like to run Jaquez Cross. Southern Miss fans might remember him from last year. He averages about 77 yards a game. He's got two touchdowns. He also has a long of 66 on the year. He's got about 233 gain and 231 net. So he averages 8 yards a carry, which I thought was crazy. That's pretty good, 8 yards a carry. They bring in Zach Wallace behind him. He's kind of his backup. So he's got 30 attempts with over 107 yards. So just in comparison to Southern Miss's rushing attack, Rodriguez Clark leads this team in rushing with 29 attempts for 172 yards. It's averaging 50 yards a game. And then Frank Gore Jr. is behind him with 30 carries for 87 yards, which is averaging 25 yards per game, which, man, who would have thought that through three games, Frank Gore would be averaging 25 yards a game. So really a game, just like Zion said, a game for Southern Miss to really turn it around on the offensive side of the ball. And the defense for Arkansas State's going to allow that, in my opinion. What do y'all think? I mean, do y'all think that this is like, you know, Will Hall, like, we got to get this run game going, or do you think he's going to try to push downfield more with the wide receivers against Arkansas State's corners?
Well, my philosophy is start off with the run and then off that branch off into play action and shotgun. But if you're Will Hall, you have to be smiling at these stats. I know they have a scout department. I know they're seeing these stats. You have to be real encouraged just looking at this. If you're Billy Wiles, you should come in maybe asking for at least, I would say, maybe 25 passing attempts coming in this game. Maybe asking Will Hall, an offensive coordinator, for at least 25 passes. And what you said, the rushing defense isn't all that great at all. They allow 150 rushing yards a game, guys. So Frank Gore, Dreek Clark, they should be looking to eat up. I want to see 15 carries a pop from both guys this week, guys. And I want to see them eat in the backfield, guys. I want to see the offensive line step up. I feel like this is a game where the offensive line should really step up and really show, you know, in my honest opinion, it's been a little lackluster, if you ask me at least. But I know it's been some tough opponents, but lackluster to say the least. And you know, this is a game where they should, you know, I feel like this is the make or break game for USM, if I'm being completely honest. You know, I believe if we lose this game, I feel like, you know, there's no turnaround for us, guys, if I'm being completely honest. And I just, you know, this is a game we have to win. If you're Will Hall, Billy Wiles, the defense, this is a game where you have to show up and show out and really show the USM faithful what you're made of.
You know, I, knowing Arkansas State's defense and listening to your breakdown of it and knowing how this team has struggled, every part of me wants to say Southern Miss is obviously just going to chuck it downfield. I mean, I was about to list a bunch of wide receivers, but I just knew Dima would have glared at me if I would have mentioned a good friend of mine. Not going to name him. But, no, you know, every part of me wants to say that they're going to air it out. And I think Billy Wiles is going to throw for a lot. But this has to be the game in which you as a coach and you as a team have to establish this run game, get these guys confident. I personally, in order to be confident in this run game and this offensive line again, I'm going to need to see 250 rushing yards minimum. Just because of a lack of production. And I know that you as Southern Miss have faced, you know, week one, there were seven guys rushing the quarterback trying to get him, and there were seven guys blitzing every time that the ball was handed off. So obviously you're not going to have a lot of rush yards, you know, because Alcorn, all they did was blitz. And that's understandable. And then week two, you go to arguably the best team in the country, and they're arguably one of the best D-lines in the country. If they pay you $1.5 million, they think they're going to beat you, and they did. Obviously, you're not going to run it a bunch there. Week three, Tulane had a great D-line. Southern Miss had... I would say... I've said it before, and I'll say it again. That was what I... Or at least, if you're a Southern Miss fan, then you should hope that I'm correct in this. That last week was Southern Miss's Georgia State game from last year. A game, by all means, that you could have won, and some said that you should have won. But every time that you got momentum, every time that something started going right, it went wrong. And it went wrong. And everything Zion did go wrong. And also, yes, I fully understand Tulane's D-line's good. But, again, you have to kind of... like. I always like kind of putting these things in context because those three things can explain why Southern Miss's run game has been a little lackluster. But this is the first opponent that you're facing that you're really like, Southern Miss can, Southern Miss should run the heck out of the ball. And so that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that there's going to be a great deal of passing yards, but you really, really got to establish that run game because personally, if I want to write a story about something, or as a fan, if you want to be confident that Southern Miss can win, you need these offensive linemen to block some runs. They need to block them a lot. Because whenever you face teams that have stout defenses, or whenever you face a team that has really, really great corners, you're not going to be able to chuck it, especially with a younger quarterback and with younger receivers. So I got to go with running it, man.
Yeah, and I think so too. I think this is a big game for, I think this is just a big game for this offense. I mean, I think I think it's just if they can't show that they can move the ball consistently against this defense, I think it's going to leave a lot of questions coming into the week of Texas State. And I think if Texas State is next week.
Texas
right?
State
yeah.
is next
yeah.
week.
So, I think if this is a 17-3 or 20-6 or whatever it is, those low scoring games. I mean, I think the Bobcats could come into Southern Miss favored. I really do, just because of what they impose on their offense. And I mean, nobody in this table right now could say that Southern Miss could win a shootout. So, just from what we've seen on the field over the past 3 weeks, so the formula for Southern Miss to win games is their defense plays good and the offense does just enough to win. I mean, that's the formula for them as of now. That was the formula last year. We said it over and over and over and over again. Southern Miss can win. The defense sets the offensive up to succeed. The offense doesn't have to do that much, but just succeed at the right time. Is that the case for this offense this year? Coming out of fall camp, we didn't think so. We thought that the offense was able to kind of, you know, coalesce with the defense in the sense where the defense might have been the question. But I mean, Dan O'Brien's done a great job replicating what Austin Armstrong did here. This is a defense that still held Tulane to a season low, I believe. And so to 21 points, granted, against a backup quarterback, I think they're going to have a field day against Arkansas State, which you're going to hear about in just a second in our bold predictions. But I think, you know, I think it's going to come down to what does the offense do. And I think it's a big game for Will Hall. I really do. I think, and I know that we're not going to sit here and, you know, call for anyone's job like the ding-dongs on Twitter are doing anything. But I don't even want to know what
Eagle Post looks like.
Right. And so I we're not going to go anything stupid like that. But I do think it's a big game for him to kind of honestly build his own confidence back, because it did feel like he was really down last week. And if they could go on the road in a Sunbelt team and just win the game, you know, like, this should not be a game where it's difficult for them to win. It shouldn't be a game. They should, on 11-on-11, go into the Dome Jonesboro and win the football game. So anything shorter of that, this fan base will be very upset. And so I think that's why it's an important game for Will Hall, because and it's kind of like, man, I don't know what to expect, right? Like, is this going to look like last week? Because if it looks like last week, I think they could lose, you know? And if it looks like against Florida State, I think they could lose. So there needs to be a significant change on the offensive side of the ball for them to win games on the road in the Sun Belt. It doesn't matter the opponent. Like, this would be the same if they were playing ULM on the road. Arkansas State, while one of the lower tier teams in the Sun Belt, they can still beat Southern Miss. As they showed last year at the Rock, they should have won that game. Arkansas State should have won that game, and they were definitely, I think Southern Miss was a 6-point favorite, so very similar to this season. So, and we all picked Southern Miss to win. We all picked them to win very handily last year. So nobody expected that game to be close. And this is the game where you're like, oh, well, I don't know. But anyway, so that's our preview on Arkansas State. We did not have a beat writer on because I don't even think they have a beat writer. I searched for it on Twitter for an hour trying to find somebody to talk to. I couldn't find anybody. So there was somebody on Rivals, but I couldn't find his email. So I'm sorry we did not get a beat writer from an opposing team. We'll get it next week because we have a great friend of the show for Texas State, Keith Chardello. We're going to ask him to come on. Hopefully he'll be available. Last week we interviewed him, and this is not about Texas State, which is a funny story. Last week we interviewed him. He was at the hospital while his daughter was being born. We were like, bro, you do not have to get on the interview right now. And he like stepped outside and gave us an interview, and his daughter had just gotten born the night before. So just props to him. But anyways, five star. I think a five star if your daughter is born and you do a football interview for Four Street Sports. But anyways, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with bold predictions and our game picks. And then we'll get into Prince Pick'em, where we have a lot to talk about, gentlemen. So we'll be right back here on 4th Street. Back on 4th Street Sports Show with Zion Cochran, Jackson Kennedy. I'm David Mixon, here to give our bold predictions for Southern Miss and Arkansas State in Jonesboro, Arkansas, this weekend at 6 p.m. on ESPN+. Arkansas State is a 7-point underdog with the over-under set at 49. Jackson, why don't you give us your bold prediction in Jonesboro?
My bold prediction is that this is going to be – I said this on Twitter because, you know, people were talking about, just how this team's going to rebound, and – I still have a lot of confidence in this team. Has it been shaken a little bit? Yeah. But a lot of the things that happened, could Southern Miss could have won by like 7, if not 10, had 5 plays gone differently. You know what I mean? 5 plays gone differently, the score changes by like 30 points. And so I'm just going to kind of give Southern Miss the benefit of the doubt. And this is going to be a get-right game. I did not go to practice this week. I had an exam on Tuesday, so I couldn't show up to practice and watch. But I can't imagine any nice words were said. And I can't imagine spirits were very high. I have to think that this team is going to come into Jonesboro playing angry. So my bold prediction, Dima, is this is going to be a get-right game, like I said. Southern Miss is going to have over 300 passing yards and over 250 rushing yards. That is my bold prediction.
That is bold.
Bold.
Zion. Bold. Look, man, I don't want to hear no vanilla picks, all right? This is going to bold prediction for a reason. Yeah.
Zion's and against Florida State, I think they cover the spread. Like, that's terrible.
Zion's scores is going to be like, I think it's going to be a football game. Like, all right, that's my
bold prediction.
Bold prediction. I think the offensive line, I think they show us what they're made of in the Sun Belt, in this Sun Belt game. I'm going to go bold here. Frank Gore Jr., he has over 120 yards from scrimmage. I say he has over 95 yards rushing. 30 passing yards, catch or whatnot. So that's my bold prediction right there. Offensive line, please don't let the USM faithful down. Please don't. Don't do it. Open up those lanes for Frank Gore, Dreek Clark, and let's block. Let's have a great a pass blocking scheme, a great run scheme. Let's do it, guys.
So I'm not picking anything with the offense because nothing over the past 3 weeks has made me trust anything this offense can do. I don't know what they're capable of doing. I don't know what in the world they're supposed to do anymore. So I'm staying away from the offense because I know what the defense can do because they've shown it. So I don't trust Arkansas State to move the ball at all in this game. I think it's going to – like, I think everybody should pound the under because I don't know what Southern Miss's offense is going to do, and I sure as heck don't know what Arkansas State's offense is going to do. Give me 4 turnovers for the Nasty Bunch.
Wow.
4 turnovers. Oh. Now, it could be a fumble, could be a strip sack, could be an interception. 4 turnovers for Southern Miss this weekend in Jonesboro. That's our bold predictions here on 4th Street. Then time for game picks. Jonesboro, Arkansas, Southern Miss at Arkansas State. Southern Miss is a 7-point favorite. The over-under is set at 49 points. Very similar spread to last season. The game is on ESPN+. We will not be attending the game, but we will be watching closely, obviously, along with you guys. Jackson, why don't you give us your score prediction, Southern Miss at Arkansas State?
I wanted to look back at our original game-by-game prediction article because I like referencing to that just to kind of see where I'm at. And
can I guess? I think I remember.
All right, so what did you pick?
I said 30-20, and you said 36-14.
Did you peek?
No.
Give me some.
Was that it?
That is exactly right, yes.
Oh,
so,
I just have a phonographic memory. I don't like
that. Just killed the vibe. Anyways.
Game picks, Jackson.
Anyways, so I wanted to see, like, because I forgot, because I don't have a photographic memory, apparently. But I originally said 36-14, like Dima said, and I wrote it down, not remembering, 34-14. And I'm confident that Southern Miss is going to finally show some offensive prowess, and they're going to be a little bit more dominant. So my pick, if we're going to go by Prince Pick'em style, I'm picking Southern Miss to more than cover, and I'm picking Southern Miss to win, not 36-14, because that would be the over, and I'm not too confident enough to say the over. So it's going to be 1 point under at 34-14. That is my game pick. Zion, what you got?
All right, guys. All tape stats says USM wins this game, guys. If you look, the point differential for Arkansas State, -22.7, pathetic. 131 ranked offense, which is second worst out of all FBS teams. All signs, all tape shows, it says USM's going to win this game. So I'm going to take USM to win this game, and I'm going to pick them to win 32-17. I have them covering a 7-point spread, and I believe they're going over. I believe that's going over, and I hope this is a turnaround for the team. I hope this starts maybe a streak of wins. You know, we have a tough opponent in following 2 weeks, Texas State, the Wildcats, and you know,
Bobcats, excuse me,
and I'm hoping that the offensive line really shows me what they're made of this week. I really want to see the run game get established early, then branch off into passing. But 32-17, I have the Golden Eagles winning this game and covering.
So I think it's going to be a very ugly game. I'm not confident in either offense. I'm confident in Southern Miss's defense. I don't know what to think of Arkansas State's defense. So I think Southern Miss's defense is going to get some, like I just said on bold predictions, they're going to get 4 turnovers. So I don't know what we're supposed to see with the offense. I think you pound the under on this. I think it's a game that could look very, very similar to last season. And I think Southern Miss prevails 17-6.
Sickos so committee type.
Under the 49, and that's Southern Miss covering and winning. So that's our game picks here on 4th Street. We have a jam-packed weekend of college football. You know me, I always have something after this. I'm playing basketball today, not softball. So we are going to try to go through this not quickly, because I think there's actually a good bit to talk about, but not as long as you would think. So let's go through this. Let me just notify everybody the standings. I'm in first place with 56 points. Zion, with an incredible week last week, took second place. He's at 48, and Jackson is just behind him at 45. So all kind of in the same vicinity, and in a week like this, gentlemen, you can be bold and take the lead, or you can play it safe and keep the lead like I'm going to try to do. So let's jump right into this. We have 7 ranked matchups, so we took out some Sunbelt games because why not pick the ranked matchups? It's more fun. No offense to Sunbelt, but there wasn't really any good Sunbelt games this week other than a 2 that were really good. One's tonight. It's going to be a great game, actually. But let's jump into this. Number 4, Florida State at Clemson. Clemson's a 2.5-point underdog. The over-under set at 55. I think it's crazy, and nobody would have projected that Clemson would be unranked and Florida State going into Death Valley as a favorite. Zion, what is your pick in Death Valley?
All right. I want to note that this game is, as Demon said, in Death Valley. So the game will be played in Clemson, South Carolina. And this is going to be a tough game for the FSU Seminoles to win because that crowd is going to be rowdy. Home field advantage is going to be just out of this mind. It's going to be a tough game. And I think it's national too, ABC, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, so this is going to be a great game if you're a college football fan. FSU has the number 8 ranked defense in all of football. And I feel like I feel like this is a train that no one's going to stop anytime soon. They're going to be really tested this week. I feel like this may be their first real test. Florida, you know, that was kind of a test, but they ended up outscoring like 27 points in the second half of that week 1 matchup. But I feel like Trey Benson, Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson, I feel like it's going to be too much for Clemson, although it is at home, and I'm going to take them to win 30-28 going over the 58 points, and I do not have them covering the spread. But this is going to be a great game, guys.
You know,
Sorry, 1 second. Yeah. I think you do have Clemson covering.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have it 30-28. It's a 2.5-point spread. So Clemson's covering the 2.5, but they're still losing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jackson. Sorry.
Watching that Duke game, I lost all confidence in Clemson. I don't know if I've lost all confidence in Dabo, or Dabo. It's a
Dabo
funny.
Dabo Swinney, I think. Yeah.
Dabo. Yeah. It just feels wrong saying Dabo. It just feels like I'm mispronouncing it. I don't know if I've lost confidence in him yet. I have definitely lost confidence in Clemson as a team. And watching Florida State in person, and again, I'm 6'1", like 187. Like, third-string Florida State guys could sneeze and I'd break in half. These guys are, like, because I was walking on their sideline taking pictures. Golly! And I know that Clemson has the same caliber of players because Clemson's historically a better program and they're in the same conference, yada, yada, yada. Florida State's going to win. Florida State's going to go into Death Valley, and they are going to be one of the few exceptions that has ever won in Death Valley. You know, like, I think 41 of their last 43, Clemson has won in their home games, which is crazy. 41 of their last 43 home games, Clemson's won. It's going to be 41 of their last 44. Florida State is going to win. They're not only going to win, they're going to cover, and I'm taking the over at 35-27, Florida State winning.
Yeah, so Florida State's going to be without their star safety, Akeem Dent. He missed last week due to a hamstring injury. They're susceptible to the pass. They gave up 305 passing yards against Boston College. Boston College last week. They almost lost the game. And they almost lost the game. The defensive ends of Jared Verse and Patrick Payton, you know, obviously that they lead that defensive front. I think Cade Klubnik is the Clemson quarterback. It's going to have a lot of trouble, you know, trying to complete a pass. But I think Clemson is going to stay in this game. This is a get-back Clemson game. You know, I think this is a game where Dabo is like, you know, we're not going to go down. The ship's not going down. It's in Death Valley. I'm picking the upset. Clemson 31, Florida State 28. So I'm going to pick the upset. I don't know how confident I am in that upset, but I just know when you start doubting these premier college football teams in their own stadium, which I'm fixing to do it in the next game, but I think it's you just get into dangerous. And nothing about Florida State last week told me that they can go into Clemson and win, especially not, you know, I think it's going to be very close. So I think Florida State could win, but I think Clemson has the talent to match Florida State just enough, and some kind of momentum shift in that game will cause Clemson to win. So that's my pick. Let's go number 15, Ole Miss at number 12, Alabama. Alabama is a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is 55.5. Jackson.
I know that we all grew up watching Bama dominate college football and watching Nick Saban dominate everything that he touched. But, man, going into halftime, I don't know if it was halftime, but it was close to halftime, down 0-3 against South Florida. It was 3-3 at halftime. Yep. Yeah, so 3-3 at halftime against South Florida, a team that I think Southern Miss could beat, quite frankly. They were goobers. I don't know if y'all watched. Like, I went to high school with John Rhys Plumlee, and he and I are well acquainted. So I try and watch every UCF game that I can just because a buddy of mine's playing. I watched UCF play South Florida, and I was cackling the entire time. I was like, okay, as somebody that went to the 2020, 2021 Southern Miss games, I feel a lot better. Because there's a team that says that they're a national brand but just stinks. And they held Alabama to 3 points, and they scored 3 points in Alabama. I already said that I lost confidence in Clemson, but I didn't lose confidence in Dabo. I don't know how I feel about Nick Saban anymore. I don't know if it's his team, because, you know, Nick Saban is the greatest of all time. I don't think that it's him. I think that it's his team that he's got around him right now, and they haven't proven himself. Like, they haven't proven themselves. And Ole Miss is going to come in there. Lane Kiffin's going to come in there petty as all get out, because that's just the kind of guy he is. I think Ole Miss is going to go in there and take care of business. I think Ole Miss is going to do it pretty convincingly, too, because, you know, the final score, wasn't it only 17-3? Mm-hmm. It was 17-3 against South Florida. If you do that against South Florida, what the heck is going to happen against an SEC team? I'm taking Ole Miss to win, and not only win, but cover. I'm taking the under at Ole Miss winning 27-17.
All right. I agree with you, Jackson. I have the Rebels winning, too. They're the underdogs coming into this game. And obviously, as you said, I'm not encouraged by the QB situation at all and all-around play in general, but especially the most important position in football. The QB position, like you said, 17 points against South Florida last week, a very underwhelming opponent. I do want to note out that Jalen Milroe, I believe his name is, he didn't start this past week. But even with that being said, this is Alabama. This is an historic franchise, an historic program, and you shouldn't be putting up 17 points against South Florida, which, I don't, to be quite honest with you guys, I don't even know what division they're in, if we're being quite honest. And
I think they're in the AAC.
Okay. But yeah, I'm not the biggest Jalen Milroe fan. Versus Texas, week two, 51% completion percentage, 2 interception in his last out, and he's going to start this week. But I'm going to take the old Nick Saban I forgot the word, excuse me, but
assistant coach.
I'm going to take his protege. That's what I was going to say.
Protege.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to take Ole Miss, the protege, nice. Lane Kiffin to win this game, and I'm going to say they win. It's going to be a nip-tuck game. I have them winning 28-26. Ole Miss covers, and they're going under 55.5 points.
Yeah, and again, like I said on the last pick, I think it's you just start to get into dangerous territory when you start doubting college football giants. Last week against South Florida, very, very weird game for Alabama. It was raining the entire game. They were playing like 4 different quarterbacks. Never got any rhythm on offense. Obviously, they're Alabama, and they should be able to just roll with anybody against South Florida. But I think Alabama's missing a key thing, and they're missing a clear leader on the team. And when you don't have a clear leader, which I'm fixing to say here in a second for another game we're going to pick. When you don't have a clear leader, it's hard to win football games, you know. But they, you know, this is an Alabama team that went toe to toe with Texas in all metrics. We're fixing to win that game. Just, you know, Texas had a better drive at the end. This is an Ole Miss team who you don't know what you're going to get from Quinshon Judkins. You know, he's been banged up the past couple of weeks. He was at a reserve role last season. And Jackson Dart became the focal point of the rushing attack last week against Georgia Tech. They give up like 30 points to Georgia Tech. I think Alabama's going to expose weaknesses in Ole Miss's offense. I think this is a shootout game, and I think Alabama prevails at home. So I'm going to pick Alabama 35-31 over Ole Miss. So that's still Ole Miss covering the 6.5, but and that is over. The spread. So next game is UCLA, number 22 UCLA at Utah, number 11. So Utah's a 4.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 52.5. Zahn, what do you have?
All right, we have two Pac-12 opponents here, guys. This game is being played at Utah, so I'm going to take Utah to win this game 24-20, going under the 52.5 points. And I want to say this won't be an easy game for Utah. UCLA has a great quarterback, Dante Moore, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception on the season. And I feel like the UTs are gonna come out. I believe this is the Pac-12, yeah, Pac-12 matchup. And I feel like they're gonna make a leap in the Pac-12. And I have them winning 24-20 and going under the 52.5 points.
I also am pretty big on the Utes. I think Utah is going to win. Not only win, but I think they're going to cover. But it's going to be under. I have Utah winning. I was thoroughly impressed. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they play Florida? Mm-hmm. Right? And Florida was a team that I was high on. And maybe it's just because I knew the caliber of person that Austin Armstrong was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, you know, if they hire him, then they've got to have a great offense. But they didn't. But Utah's also just been consistently good. I'm picking Utah to cover, but I'm picking the under. Utah wins it 32-24.
Yeah, I'm taking Utah as well. I love their coach. I've been high on all year. I was the only one out of all of those three to pick them to beat Florida. And I think they got a great coach, great system there. So, and I take them at home all day. So 24-17, Utah, that's them covering. And that is the under. Yeah, the under. So go to the primetime. Primetime. Colorado, number 19 team in the country, at number 10, Oregon. Oregon is a 21-point favorite, and the over-under is set at 70.5, which shows that Las Vegas has absolutely no idea what's going to go on in this game. Yeah. And Zion said before this podcast started that he picked the over, so we want to hear his explanation first. At least I do, Jax.
Yeah, I'm baffled.
All right, I want to come out and say first, Coach Prime with the Colorado program, he's done a great job turning it around and whatnot. The offense is great. I believe it's ranked. I believe they're averaging 41 points per game. I believe top 5 ranked in all college football. The defense is, you know, much to be desired, but, you know, the offense, they don't need to really, you know, play too much defense if they're, you know, just throwing the ball across the field and whatnot. But Shedeur Sanders, quarterback for the Colorado Buffaloes, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, 80 QBR, 78 completion percentage, and a 178 passer rating, which is great. And he also has, in 3 games, guys, I understand it's college and whatnot, but 1,251 passing yards, which is ridiculous if you ask me. The offense is ranked 2nd in all the nation. And I do want to say, without Travis Hunter on defense and offense, two-way star, I feel like, you know, I feel like the offense may take a little bit of a downwards dip. But I do feel like this game will be a shootout. And I want to say Bo Nix for Oregon, he's been in college for like 6 years. He's been in there since I think in 10th grade in high school. But he's been there a little minute. But I do want to say Bo Nix, Bucky Irvin, the running back, Troy Franklin, the receiver. I feel like that team right there, I feel like that offense is – I feel like it's going to be – it's going to be tough for the Colorado defense to handle and take down, because they, quite frankly, haven't been stopping anybody. If you've seen the game last week against Colorado State, which Colorado State is pretty more or less nobody. It's just being honest. But I just feel like the offense of Oregon, the Ducks, will be too much. And they're averaging 58 points per game, which is 2nd in all of college football, which is crazy. And that's just why, if you ask me. But I'm gonna say that I have Oregon winning this game. I have them going over. I have this game being 46-42, Oregon wins, and I know it's a very high-flying game. I have a lot of faith in Shedeur Sanders and that offense and prime time. I do, and of course, Bo Nix and Oregon. You know, you, obviously. But, you know, I do have Colorado covering the 21-point spread. That's ridiculous if you ask me. I believe in three games they've shown enough on offense and just as a program that they should be considered more than a 21-point underdog. But have them going over the 70.5 points, 46-42, Oregon wins, and Coach Prime takes his first loss as a Buffalo.
I liked your breakdown. I liked just about everything about it until you said the over. It's just scoring more than 70 points. That is wild. But you know what? I will gladly eat crow. If that game is 46-42,
that'd be a great college football game.
That would be a fantastic game.
And it's right before the Southern Miss game, yeah. Which I know everybody just says, that's the game right there, man.
Dude, man. If you are in the national audience and you aren't watching this incredible Red Wolf team, just ravenous, coming out at you, then I don't know what you're doing. But no, I think, on a side note, I think Southern Miss versus Arkansas State has the capacity to be a great game, but it also has the capacity to be what Dima predicted of just a game that is just for sickos and sickos only of just like, blah.
Yeah.
But going back to Oregon and Colorado, I'm a little more confident in Oregon than I am in Colorado. I think Oregon's going to win. Colorado's going to cover, but I'm taking the under. Crazy, I know. And I think it's going to be a lot more of an under than people think. I'm taking the under at Oregon winning it 34-27.
Yeah, it seems like to me every time you get high-flying offenses facing each other, the defenses always step up. So that's why I'd never go with like big shootout games going way over. But there are a lot of points that are scored in college football. On Monday I said that, you know, the past 2 weeks I've had games where I've said, hey, this is a potential upset game, but I'm not bold enough to pick it. This is my third week in a row. This is a potential upset game. Am I bold enough to pick it? No, I'm not. I'm not bold enough to pick it. I'm not. It's not worth losing Prince Pick'em. But if y'all get there, if we get here on Monday and Colorado beat Oregon, remember I said it. Then the next week, I am definitely picking my ball. Because then I'm like, but yeah, I got Oregon winning 31-28. So that's the under in Colorado covering. So Oregon State at Washington State. Let's get a quick pick here, Jackson.
Well, I have Washington State winning and covering. I'm a little bit higher on Washington State than I'm Oregon State. So again, Washington State win, Washington State covering because they're the dog. I have under at 24-21.
All right, I agree with you, Jackson. I have Penn State winning this game. Want to point out that Cade McNair.
We're on Washington State.
Oh, Washington State.
Washington State, Oregon State.
Oregon State. I'm going to take Oregon State to win this game, guys, and I believe the score will be 33-26, and I have them going over, if I'm not mistaken, and yep. I believe I have them covering too, yeah.
Yeah, I like Washington State better too. I picked them to beat Wisconsin, and I got that right. So give me another one, Washington State. Why not? 29-20, that's under. So number 24, Iowa at number 7, Penn State. Penn State's a 15-point favorite. The over-under is 40. I believe is it the whiteout game? I can't remember when the whiteout game is, but I know it's a night game. Night game in Happy Valley. I've been to Happy Valley for a night game. And it is the loudest game I've ever been to in my entire life, and that is over the Saints game. So over the loudness of the dome, that just tells you how loud that stadium is. The over-under set at 40. Zahn, what do you have out there in Happy Valley?
All right, I got Penn State winning. I was really excited to pick this game the last go-around, but I got Penn State winning 36-24. I'm not really encouraged by Iowa's quarterback, Kay McNair.
Wait. Okay. You have Iowa scoring 24 points?
Yep, 24.
Okay. No, I was just making sure I heard that right. Going way over the 40.
But what I was going to say, but I'm not encouraged by the quarterback, Iowa's quarterback, Cade McNair, I believe, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. McNair, excuse me. And he has a bottom, one of the worst QBRs in all of college football. I believe Fox and ESPN have him ranked as maybe a bottom 20 quarterback, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm not really encouraged there. I'm going to take Penn State to win this game, have it going over the 40.5 points. And, yeah, Penn State's going to win this game in convincing fashion, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, Cade McNamara.
McNamara.
Yeah, every time that he said it, I was waiting for him to just say, like, Macarena or, like, Macadamia Nut. And I'm like, I you were just so close. But yeah, McNamara. So good. Sorry. I have Penn State winning. I'm very high on them. At the beginning of the season, I saw them in my college football playoff picks. That I think it's going to be them, Alabama. Or I thought it was going to be them, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida State. I don't know if Alabama's going to be in there, but I still have Penn State being potentially in that picture. But I have Penn State winning, Iowa covering, because Iowa's defense is so good that they've always Iowa and Southern Miss are kind of similar in the fact that their defenses are just so good. But I have the under because the defenses are so good at Penn State winning 31-17.
That is not the under. The under of under is at 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, he's over. I've got, yeah, look at me confidently answering like an idiot. No, you know what? In that case, then I'll take the over because I am high on Penn State's offense. Even in the face of Iowa.
So this is the game where it's sickos community for the Big Ten. Anytime baby. Penn State and Iowa play, it's like the most unbelievably craziness. I got 6 field goals and a safety. Penn State 18-2. Okay. That's them covering under 40. Okay. I don't think either team will score a touchdown, but wow. I think Penn State will do something stupid because that's James Franklin, and they'll get a safety to Iowa. But there's no way Iowa is scoring on this Penn State defense. They're not even going to – bold prediction, I don't even think Iowa moves it past the 50-yard line.
Whoa!
Because that Penn State defense is so good, and Iowa's offense is literally awful. I would hate to be an Iowa fan. All right, let's get to the big one. Number 6, Ohio State at number 9, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 3-point underdog, and the over-under is set at 55.5.
All right, I have Notre Dame winning. I'm high on Sam Hartman. He's been in college for – forever. And I think Ohio State's great this year. And I could see them also in that college football playoff picture. It just kind of depends on how they do in this game and against Michigan. And those are the two big deciding games because it'll probably be either Ohio State or Michigan in the playoff. And it all comes down for me, for Ohio State, it all comes down to this game. Because Notre Dame has some capacity to be in that top 4. I don't know enough about them to confidently say that. But this Notre Dame team, it's so close to being like the Notre Dame team of old. I have Notre Dame winning, and that would be them covering because they are the underdogs. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than anybody's really given credit for. Like, I know that you said, I know that they're only 3-point dogs, and I know that you said game-winning field goal. I have it a little bit different than that. I have Notre Dame winning 31-27.
Yeah, so, you know, Ohio State last year struggled a lot with this Notre Dame defense in the beginning of the game of the season last year. C.J. Stroud had to find Xavier Johnson to win that game late in that game. So I think last year's Notre Dame-Ohio State game showed how good of talent Notre Dame has. But I think Ohio State, you know, this is a statement game for the Buckeyes. I think a lot of people doubting them, a lot of people not really sure about what Kyle McCord brings. And, you know, Sam Hartman, what's crazy is Sam Hartman's been in college football for so long that I think like 16 starting NFL quarterbacks have played.
Whenever you told me this stat, it was 17. Remember you saying that.
Yeah, that's 17. Crazy. So, yeah, he's going to have the best QB. I mean, anybody would if they played college football for freaking that long. And the teams that Notre Dame have played so far is just laughable. I mean, Tennessee State and Central Michigan and Navy. Yeah, let me introduce you to Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Ibuka, and this insane offense who seemed to find who they are and scored 7 touchdowns in 6 minutes last week. So the defense for Ohio State is supposed to be super good. I think this is going to be a very close game. I do not trust Kyle McCord enough to go into Notre Dame and win this game. So I'm picking Notre Dame to win 27-20, and that is Notre Dame covering and the under, I believe. So let's head to Wyoming. App State at Wyoming. Wyoming is a 3-point favorite. The over-under is set at 42.5. What do you have there, Jackson?
Wyoming has done some crazy things already this season. They've done some crazy things, and it's awesome to see. I always love when teams that don't get a lot of love upset a lot, because they've upset a lot of powerhouses, and a lot of powerhouses so far this season, they've given them a heck of a lot of challenge. And App State, I won't say that they're worse than the teams that have already faced Wyoming, but they're certainly not better. Because, you never know what you have with App State until you get into Sun Belt play, because they'll beat Power 5 teams or take Power 5 teams to double overtime, and then they'll come into conference play and just stink it up. Because right. that like App State's just one of those teams, kind of like how Old Dominion looked last year, is what App State kind of historically is. But I have Wyoming winning and them covering, but I'm taking the under at 21-17. I like a lot of one than sevens, as you can see.
All right, we differ a little bit. I'm really encouraged by App State's quarterback, Joey Algier. I'm mispronouncing the name, excuse me, but 9 touchdowns on the season, only 2 interceptions. And I looked on ESPN, they lead there, and they have the advantage against Wyoming in every offensive category, rushing yards, passing yards, every offensive metric there, they have the advantage. But I have them upsetting the Wyoming. I have them covering the 3.5, winning 35-31, and I have this game going over 42.5 points.
Yeah, I like App State in this game as well. I think they are pose a better challenge, and I think they go on their own win. 24-21. Big, nice game. Georgia State, 3-0 for the first time, I think, in program history is what I read. Playing on the road to Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 62.5. Quick pick here. What do you got there?
Coastal Carolina wins this game 34-26, covering the 7-point spread.
Georgia State wins this, and Georgia State covers the spread with an under. This may be over because I just shifted my score. It was originally another 31-27, but I moved it. I have Georgia State winning 34-27.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Georgia State has looked very good. I don't know if they can go to Coastal and win the game. I think they cover, though. Coastal wins 31-28. So that's Prince Pick'em, and we got a lot of great games this weekend in college football. Jackson had sent out some fan questions, or sent out a call for fan questions. We don't have time to get to them today, but what we're going to do is we will have Jackson write a story and answer your fan questions online. Jackson, what was the fan questions?
Right now, we've got Common Sense Eagle wants to hear about the progress of Ethan Crawford, Southern Miss's true freshman quarterback that has turned a lot of heads, is what I'll say. And Jace Chandler Golabay, that's an awesome last name. he said, is winning the West still possible? And that could be a topic for an entire story.
Right.
So, Jace, you may have just, I may have mispronounced your name, but you just probably gave me like a whole 400 or 500 word story to write.
And we'll let that thread open a little bit longer. That way Jackson could get to those in a more direct manner. So, but sorry we couldn't get them today. I just have to go. So, but thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We appreciate it. We will not be in Jonesboro this weekend, but still be looking for our coverage because we will be tweeting, we will be watching, we will be doing everything we always do. We just won't be there. So that's really the only thing different. So be looking for our coverage on Saturday night. We'll be there with the post-game podcast after the game and after Ohio State Notre Dame because there will not be a post-game press conference before that game is over, just to let you know. Anyways, for Zion Cochran and Jackson Kennedy, I'm Dew Mixon, and thanks for listening to 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon, and as always, Southern Miss to the top.